Okay, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and we have our special guest on the program, Paz Forghani, and he's been, just to introduce him briefly, he's been a long-term campaigner for the unemployed and against poverty. I'm not completely sure what you're involved in at the moment, but I'm pretty sure you're involved with the Australian Council of Social Services and have been campaigning quite heavily about making the New Start increase permanent as one of his kind of fundamental issues. In fact, we've had him regularly on our program to talk, I guess, about some issues. So, yeah, good morning, Paz.
Good morning, Jacob. Good to be here.
Yeah, well, I guess starting, I guess, with the first question, given that you've been such a long-term campaigner for increasing the rate of New Start, which is now also known as Job Seeker now, but I think just sometimes you can't avoid calling it New Start because it's been called that for so long, I would like to hear a perspective from you, I guess, you know, in light of this COVID-19 pandemic leading to a temporary increase, what can you tell us really about the impact that this temporary increase has meant for the people on who are currently receiving the payments, and why you believe the change should be made permanent?
Well, it would be no exaggeration to say that the impact has been life-changing. Like in my role, I spend much of every single day speaking to people across the country who are on Job Seeker, formerly New Start, and also people on youth allowance. That's not I forget about students and young people. And the stories I keep hearing over and over again is that for the first time in a very, very long time, people can afford to buy fresh fruits and vegetables. It's no longer such a tremendous struggle to cover their rent and bills. People talk about not needing to skip their medications anymore. I've had people say they can buy major and essentials like appliances, like fridges or freezers. So parents told me that they can buy school equipment for their children, laptops, some new uniforms, textbooks, other course materials. So the impact has been absolutely tremendous on people's health and well-being. The Australian Council of Social Service, released a survey that we did of 950 people on JobSeeker and Youth Allowance last week, and the results clearly indicated that, when you double people's incomes, it has a profound impact. Basically, everything I just told you, like overwhelming numbers of people saying that they're eating better, they're skipping less meals, it's easy for them to pay for medicines. Many people talking about being able to move into safer and more secure like accommodation. You know, people who are previously couch surfing or not living in particularly pleasant premises can relocate into somewhere a bit more comfortable and appropriate. And just to be clear, even with the doubling of the payment, people are only just above the poverty line. So I think that puts into perspective how low the old rate was, that even when you double it, people are just above more, let's be clear, like $560 a week, which is the current rate of JobSeeker plus the coronavirus supplement. It's not actually that much money. It's a tremendous amount of money compared to the old rate, but no one who's currently unemployed is living the good life. You know, people are just above water, and in fact, we know there are still significant numbers of people who, even with that higher rate, are still struggling with some of their expenses. You know, people telling us that even on the higher rate, sometimes they still can't afford to eat three meals a day, and sometimes they still struggle with medical expenses, like seeing a dentist or seeing a psychologist or a physiotherapist. But the impact has been absolutely life-changing. I can't say that enough.
And yeah, that goes into, I guess, the next question, which is that, you know, Scott Morrison has mentioned at a press conference that he believes the high rate of job seeker, he mentioned this as like he heard from businesses apparently that, you know, because of the increased rate of job seeker, some people are not getting, are not taking shifts. And, you know, basically he's making this suggestion, that people always, that right wing governments always make about, social welfare services, that the high rate of job seeker as it is, I mean, it's, as you kind of say, it's not even really that high. It has been an impediment towards those finding work. And what do you think this says, you know, this statement says about how the government views the unemployed?
Well, I mean, it's the same old script that they've been using for decades, really, isn't it? And I think it's getting a bit tiring. And I think more and more people are seeing them through that script. I mean, it's staggering that they'll come out with these comments at a time where, I mean, we're in the midst of, you know, the biggest economic crisis we've experienced in our lifetimes. You know, just about a once in a century event. There's one job for every 13 people who are unemployed. And then you add on top of that the underemployed people who are working casually or part-time, who are desperately looking for more hours of paid work, the huge numbers of people who have, you know, quite understandably become discouraged and like you've stopped looking for work, you know, given the conditions. We've got, you know, whole sectors of the economy that will take years to recover, if they'll ever recover. You know, I'm thinking the arts, higher education, like entertainment, hospitality. This month we had the biggest drop in job vacancies on record in the 40 odd year history of us collecting job vacancy data. So it's staggering that on the one hand, it's staggering that Morrison would come out with these claims like at a time like this. But also it's the same old line. It's always some unidentified pub owner or a mysterious cafe owner. And I'm not sure why we should believe them over what the data is telling us. We know that, as I said, you know, even at the doubled rate, it's only just above the poverty line. Anglicare told us that even at the doubled rate, only 1.5% of rental properties are affordable for someone who's unemployed. So the idea of people turning down shifts, you know, is a little bit ludicrous. But I'll say this, actually, that I think we've got to be frank that there are lots of jobs out there which are, you know, really poorly paid and unpleasant and unsafe, and that offer people no security or stability. And maybe sometimes instead of having these conversations about, you know, are there people out there who are, you know, balking at doing jobs that are, you know, really, really crap? You know, why are there so many jobs out there that are, you know, really miserable and poorly paid and have terrible conditions? I mean, we always talk about unemployed people needing incentives to work, and those incentives involve trying to force them to live on a starvation level of income. But we never talk about like incentives for businesses to actually like improve the conditions and the wages of the jobs that they offer people. You know, it's always incentives for the unemployed. It's never like incentives for the people who are like offering the jobs. So that's my comment on that.
Yeah, and I guess one of the more interesting things to me is that many business councils, social welfare organisations, and even sections of the Liberal Party have supported the cause around increasing the rate of new starts, like job seeker, i.e. the old rate. In fact, I mean, I don't think any Liberal Party members have actually called for making the current increase permanent. And as far as I know, the ALP in principle support increasing the rate, but they don't support making this sort of COVID supplement temporary. But of course, I think on this whole debate, many sort of experts are saying, you know, that the rate that it current that it has been increased to should actually be made permanent, and the majority of people, especially Australians, do appear to be support making the current rate increase permanent. So I guess, I mean, taking this in account, why do you think that the Morrison government is so stubborn about refusing to make any kind of commitment towards increasing the rate or even making the current rate increase permanent?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is kind of baffling that you have this, pretty unique, like, you know, kind of, you know, cross-class, like, alliance on this, issue. The business community recognises that, you know, if we end JobKeeper at the end of September, and particularly if JobSeeker gets cut by half and goes back to the miserable old rate of $40 a day, it's going to be economically catastrophic, right? You take that much money out of the economy, out of the hands of consumers, and that's Armageddon, right? They know that. The economists know that as well. I mean, that's, you know, that's the exact opposite of what you do during like economically difficult times. You don't take money out of the economy. You're meant to pump it in, like, as much as possible. It is baffling. I think it shows the strength of the ideology that the government, but also to some extent actually both major parties subscribe to, which is basically the whole it's basically the ideology behind your last question about, unemployment payments have to be kept low, to ensure that there's, you know, a large pool of people who will take any job that comes along, no matter how desperate, poorly paid that job is, no matter how poor those conditions are, the policy of repeated governments, multiple governments, when it comes to treating the unemployed, is that desperation is a good thing. We need the unemployed to feel desperate, and I think that, yeah, that ideology has such a strong hold that it seems to outweigh like other considerations, like the need to ensure that the economy doesn't further plummet, or the fact that actually by raising the rate, the government would have to do something reasonably popular. Like, as you said, there's majority support for raising the rate. There has been for a couple of years now. You know, even a substantial minority of coalition voters actually recognise that the current rate is too low. And the other thing is, it's long been recognised that the payment's actually so low that it's actually stopping people from looking for paid work, because they simply don't have the resources to be effective job seekers. They can't maintain a car. You know, they struggle with internet costs and phone costs and other costs of training and upskilling, and having like interview clothes and haircuts. We often think about like the reserve army, the unemployed, and them acting as a force to keep downward pressure on wages. But if Like if unemployed people like are so poor that they can't actually go out and compete for jobs, then obviously that doesn't work. I mean, I'm from the point of view of some sections of the business community, like you actually need like a high enough unemployment payment that people who are like unemployed are actually able to go out and look for jobs. So, yeah, but as for the Morrison government, I think it's like how entrenched and that ideology is. And I think it's also the view that why would they give lots of money to like a whole bunch of people who, like in their eyes, are mostly never going to vote for them anyway. I think as a political consideration, like why give billions of dollars to people who they think would largely vote for Labour over them.
Maybe going from a kind of different angle, and that is, I think you've talked quite a bit about, I guess, the human kind of impact of this, but I'm kind of interested in a bit hearing a bit of some of your thoughts on the kind of issue of the economy. I mean, as a socialist and a Marxist, I'm not necessarily that interested in the health of the economy, but I do think there is this kind of contradiction in light of the kind of COVID-19 pandemic. And that is this kind of issue of consumption and the fact that, you know, the economy does rely on a high level of consumption that I don't think is likely to go back to the levels that is to the levels that most capitalists want it to be. And I saw that sort of extends to what I guess your thoughts on sort of this impact that is likely to happen, because even economists are warning about this, of removing the supplement by September 24, including the likes of wage subsidies such as JobKeeper, that the government doesn't seem to appear to be keen about extending. And just to mention just one last thing, I just noticed a headline news story that it appears on the subject of JobKeeper that some sole traders weren't actually eligible for the JobKeeper according to the rules, but they still received it anyway. And then the ATO might actually be trying to get back pay off them. So yeah, just kind of keen to kind of hear some of your comments on that kind of question.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, when we talk about the economy, right, it's like it's kind of an abstract concept, isn't it? We've had up until this year, almost 30 odd years of continuous economic growth, but at the same time we had rising inequality, rising poverty. For many people, their wages have been frozen for like a long time. So yeah, I think we can have like an economy that's kind of going well without most of the country actually benefiting from that. I mean, what worries me is people being unemployed, living in poverty for years and years, because I think we're in for years and years of really, really difficult times. As I said, I mean, there might be some industries that never fully recover. I mean, like what's the way out of this crisis for tourism or for higher education? But yeah, as you said, basically there's a cliff coming on September 24, which is currently the day that the higher doubled rate of job seeker ends, and the day that job keeper ends. And yeah, many economists and some business groups have warned that if the government doesn't intervene, and we'll see like another wave of job losses. I mean, like I should say that JobKeeper is obviously masking how bad things are right now. We know there are 1.5 million people who are currently on JobKeeper, who are working 0 hours a week. And presumably those people come September, when JobKeeper ends, are not going to have a job to go back to. So if you like include the people on JobKeeper who are getting no hours, if you like include those people in the unemployment figures, then we have like an unemployment rate of around 16%, which, you know, we haven't had a very, very long time, not like in any of our lifetimes, and you're probably not even, I'm like in our parents' lifetimes. I mean, it's hard to, because this is, so outside like anything we've experienced, it's hard to like fully grasp, I mean, how dire the situation is. And it's not the economy I worry about. It's the people who are going to be unemployed for years, and the people who will never be able to work again, because we know that happens after like every single like economic crash. There's huge numbers of people who never find paid work again. They're normally older people, and quite often they're women. We know that women have been disproportionately like affected by the job losses at this time round as well.
Yeah. Well, the last last question, because unfortunately our other guest is going to be coming in soon. I kind of want to talk about what is the sort of campaign you're kind of initiating at the moment, and if you can also tell us about some of the other campaigns that have been initiated by other organisations about all these issues, and what can you tell us about them, and what are the some of the demands?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you mentioned at the start, I work for the Australian Council of Social Service, which is ACOS, on the Raise the Rate campaign, which is the campaign to permanently raise the rate of job seeker and youth allowance. And the success of that campaign has been dependent on the efforts of unemployed people and students across the country who've organized together, who've spoken out together, who've in ways that are, you know, often quite risky, shared their stories with the rest of the country and like helped to build, you know, pretty strong and overwhelming support for raising the rate. I've been doing that for the last year and a half. One of the really like exciting things is the growing grassroots in this space. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with organizations like the Unemployed Workers Union and the Anti-Poverty Networks. You've been very actively like organizing people on like income support for years and years, not only like around this issue, but around other issues like the, you know, punitive mutual obligation regime that unemployed people normally, not at the moment, but normally have to deal with, you know, job active, all the hoops you constantly have to jump through, work for the dole, the cashless debit card, which is of course, you know, still very active in certain parts of the country. One of the most exciting things at the moment is a coalition that's being set up of welfare activists, union activists, and others called the Life Coalition, or the Living Incomes for Everyone Coalition, and it's a national alliance. You've had a huge number of organizations sign on to their statement, which includes making the doubled rate of job seeker permanent, suspending all mutual obligation requirements, ensuring that no one ever gets their payment cut for any reason, because, you know, that's their sole source of income and should never be taken away from someone. Ending like a lot of the rorts around JobKeeper by ensuring JobKeeper is paid directly to the worker and not via the employer. So they're an exciting new organization. The Victorian Trades Hall have recently signed on. They're working closely with the United Workers Union, a number of First Nations organizations are signing on, and also ethnic and migrant groups, but led in particular by some of the organizers at the Anti-Poverty Network, who've been working in this space for a very, very long time. So I'd certainly like encourage people to check them out on Facebook. It's really, really a unique like alliance of people from the trade union movement, people in the anti-poverty and unemployment space, and like a whole range of other voices who are coming together at exactly the right time.
I guess we can finish up the interview now, but I guess, do you have any final comments, I guess, you'd like to make?
Yeah, well, I'll tell people listening that on July 23rd, the government is having a mini budget, and it's been widely reported that there will be a permanent raise to JobSeeker like announced, but the figure that seems to keep getting mentioned, a 75 a week increase is nowhere near enough. Let's be clear, like a 75 a week increase would be a $200 a week cut on the current income, which, as I said, is only just above the poverty line. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to be pushing people really, really hard to push the government really, really hard to make sure that we don't have a massive cut that takes people, back below the poverty line again. There's a national day of action being planned for Tuesday, July 14. Follow the Raise the Rate page on Facebook to find out more about that. There'll be lots of activities happening right across the country to ensure that if we do get a permanent raise, after 26 years of the payment being frozen, it needs to be a substantial one, and 75 a week, nowhere near enough. So, yeah. Check us out on Facebook and keep the 14th free in your diaries for the National Day of Action. You'll hear more about it from us very, very soon.